Rolling right along, game day on TSN 1260, live at On the Rocks, Jasper Ave and 118th Street. Stop in, say hi. We got some tickets for the Blues game tonight, some jerseys, lots of great things to win. Also, if you enter in the draw today, in 3 weeks' time, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to the final game at Rexall Place. And if you're here today, you will have the entry you put in for today's draw also stays in for that draw. So a little bit of bonus for you. Time now for the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. Over 600 vehicles to choose from. Stop in, say hi to Mo and Adam and the boys, and they will treat you great. That's AutoCityEdmonton.com. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, interesting today. The big news, really, the expansion draft rules came out. 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie, or you could elect to keep any combination of 8 skaters and a goaltender. And you don't have to protect players who have been in the league fewer than 3 seasons. So Connor McDavid, obviously, if the expansion's next year, won't need to be protected. I was looking at the orders today, and they wouldn't be in a big issue, but they could be next summer, Ryan, if they actually acquire some legit defensemen, because then they'd only be able to protect 3 of them, and that would leave, you know, those 2 plus Sekera, Klefbom, and Brandon Davidson.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I haven't really wrapped my head around sitting down with the Oilers roster and looking at exactly what it means to them. But every team, 30 teams across the league, are going to have to sit down with this thing. And again, these are just proposed rules. Given the GMs a sense of it, they'll firm things up by the draft. But every team, this is going to affect every decision the teams make. And it's going to affect decisions on everything from free agent signings in the offseason to trades made at the draft to, you know, even for some teams, whether or not you bring up junior players and have them play in 10 games before the end of the year. Like, it really affects the way they do business in a lot of ways. So I don't blame GMs for wanting to get on this thing early, because the sooner they know, then the sooner they can start trying to find the loopholes that allow them to get around it and do whatever they want. But we're going to see lots of stuff happening. We're going to see trades now that maybe don't make sense, where we realize, okay, this is a draft lottery trade made for those sorts of reasons. And then we got the whole issue with the no movement clauses, and that has yet to be determined. So, yeah, this is a very interesting dynamic, and this is way more complicated than it was back when they did it in 2000.
Oh, definitely. It's interesting, the no movement clauses. It sounds like the NHL might say, well, if you gave him out, then you obviously love the guy. You might have to protect him. That's going to be, I think, the biggest battle of them all.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, the teams would love the league to say, okay, no movement clause guys don't count, but I don't think there's any way they're going to do that.
Oh, no chance.
Leagues will just make teams follow through on their commitment not to move players and force them to protect them. But, I mean, if you're a team with some guys with no moves, you go to those guys and you say, all right, is anybody willing to go? You know, because, I mean, it is potentially Vegas. So you see if you can get around it that way. Maybe you expose them. You get them to sign a waiver agreeing to go, and then you expose them. So I'm sure teams will find some ways around it. But, yeah, for guys that are on longer-term deals that maybe don't look so good now and they'd love to move those guys or love to expose them, they might not be able to. And this will be a big one that will probably – I don't know what the timeline is for hearing about it. I think they've got some meetings scheduled with the PA. It's going to take a little bit of time to work through them, but it's a major thing that still needs to get sorted out.
Yeah, no, definitely there'll be a few more wrinkles to iron out for sure. But I think that the amount of players protected, Ryan, the numbers we see today from people I talked to down at the rink, from both St. Louis and Edmonton, those numbers likely aren't going to change very much at all. So you will actually see the expansion team get some potentially decent players.
Well, and that's the idea, right? I mean, teams are, these people are going to spend $500 million on a franchise, and they need, especially in Vegas, they need to be competitive sooner rather than later. They can't come in and have 7 years before they play a playoff game, and the league recognizes that. So, when you look at, say, a 7-3-1 scenario, well, if you're a team that goes 7-3-1, you have a potential of losing a second-pairing defenseman, potentially. If you've got a good backup goalie, I mean, you lose a really good backup goalie, or a third line forward. So you know, there are definitely going to be some good players available under this scenario, and they want those teams to come in and have a fighting chance. They don't want it to come in and flounder around and never really have a chance. You know, I mean, did expansion not work down in Atlanta? I mean, you'd say probably not, but really? I mean, did they ever have a competitive team down there? And they can't have a similar scenario like that where the team never has a chance to even get competitive.
Well, no, the other thing is, like, losing one player, if your franchise is that weak that losing one player is going to derail your franchise, you know, especially when it's not one of your top 11 players, ultimately it shouldn't be, you know, that brutal for you. I'd be very interested to see, Ryan, like, let's say it's the summer of 2017. We all know McDavid isn't going to be protective either way. But if the owners have moved some of their forwards to acquire defensemen at that point, I could see them maybe only protecting eight skaters because they don't have to protect McDavid. Draisaitl will be a dependent on if they honor the entry-level contract or, you know, which years of service depends. But, you know, they might only protect then, you know, like five and or maybe four defensemen and four skaters because they won't need six forwards or seven forwards to protect because a lot of their young guys, you know, this year's draft pick, for example, and McDavid aren't guys that would need to be protected.
Yeah, the other thing, though, to keep in mind, and sorry if it's loud here, I'm in an airport. The other thing to keep in mind is you have to make available 25% of your roster, of your payroll from the year before. So you need to make available to other teams players whose salaries total up to a quarter of the team's payroll from the previous year. So it can't necessarily just be... I mean, you're going to have to expose some money and obviously by extension, some good players because, you know, you got to be able to hit that threshold. And so teams are going to be, and that's where the real tricky math comes in. They're going to have to really plan ahead and be careful about it because, yeah, you might have the perfect set of young players and guys that don't need to be protected and all that, but you got a floor you have to get to for how much you expose. And that'll be some tricky juggling for the GMs to do.
Anything else come out today that intrigued you?
No, pretty low key, man. I mean, this whole draft lottery stuff that we spent a couple of days talking about, it was nothing. Like, basically, they opened it up and nobody really pushed the agenda in the big group meeting. So whether it was Doug Armstrong or whoever was, you know, waving that flag around before, it just didn't happen. So I think they just want to get through this year and see how it goes. And Gary said there wasn't really much appetite to change a lot. No, not a lot. I mean, the salary cap they talked about, and depending on whether the escalator's in play or not, the GMs now have a sense for what it's going to look like. So that was somewhat newsy, but really the big thing here, and it's so funny because, like, we can't ever get the league to talk about expansion. I mean, they never want to talk about it. And here they are having to put these big quotation marks and say, if we do, then here's a bunch of rules. Well, it's got everybody really excited about the possibility. So really, it was all about expansion and expansion draft. But it'd be interesting to note, though, that we will know by June or the end of June if the league is going to be expanding the following year. Like, there's a hard deadline now for when we'll know if it's happening.
Yeah, you know, to me, it seems... you know, it's going to be Vegas, one team, and if it's not next year, as far as them announcing, it's likely the year after that, right? So within 2 years, and, you know, and that's, I guess, good news for the Edmonton Oilers is that unless they have to wait 3 years, they don't have to protect Connor McDavid. That's a massive advantage for them in any sort of expansion rule, regardless of how many players you protect, because when you don't have to protect your best player, very few teams will not have that luxury. You know, the Buffalo Sabres might be one of the only other ones.
Yeah, no, for sure, and... I mean, fans will be sitting down with Cap Geek in front of them or you know, wherever they get their information from and be doing a different type of math now than they've ever done before with all this stuff because it adds a whole new dimension, this idea of who you can protect and how much you have to protect. And Peter Chiarelli will be doing that exact same math. We'll have to see what it looks like. They'll have another very good player from this year's entry draft who – likely they won't need to protect. So, I mean, the Oilers are going to have, you know, they'll have a good number of guys who probably don't need it. But then again, if they want to go and add some guys in their mid-20s, then those guys will require protection. And now what happens to, you know, your Klefbaums and your, you know, some of those younger guys who do have their 3 years in the league?
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Was at the governor meeting, GM meetings in Florida. Ryan, moving along to tonight, the St. Louis Blues, a team that, no surprise, not a great matchup for the Edmonton Oilers over the last few years. They haven't played them since the first week of the season, where they played them twice, lost 3-1 and 4-2. And Todd McClellan talked about it, that, you know, you'd like to see how your team progresses throughout the year and play a St. Louis maybe in the first 10 days, then at game 40, and again later in the season. That hasn't worked out. Plus, you throw in all the injuries. But we talk injuries in Edmonton, and that's one thing. You look at the St. Louis Blues and how many injuries they've had to key players. They've never had their full roster once yet, and they still won't. Ottenstein are getting closer to playing. But, you know, this St. Louis team is still in first place in the West despite all their injuries. This might be the Blues' year.
Yeah, it could be. We've kind of been waiting for it, haven't we? I mean, the last few years, we've all respected, and in particular, the blue line on their team has always been that strength of their team. But this is a year where there seems to be a resilience in the group that maybe there wasn't in years past. And they've got enough depth now where you talk about the kind of injuries you've been mentioning, and they still can find a way to persevere through that. I like that team. I always have. I like the fact that some of their core, most important players who play the most minutes are big, strong, physical players who, you know, can make your life miserable. And David Backes is always really, really difficult to play against. Some of their defensemen, though they're not super physical or bigger guys, a guy like Bollmeister. And yeah, this is not a good matchup for the Oilers. But this is the type of team that Peter Chiarelli's trying to build his team to compete better against. So when you add Cassian, when you add Maroon, when you add Party, if he were available. Those are the kinds of additions with an eyeball towards a team like the St. Louis Blues. How do you stack up against them in a seven-game series? So that's why Peter Chiarelli has looked to make some of those changes that he has, because he views this team, the LA Kings, you know, the Anaheim Ducks, those teams that can lean on you a little bit, he knows he needs to compete against those kinds of teams. And so he's already made some changes from the start of the year to give his team a better fighting chance in a game like they'll get tonight.
You look at, Darnell Nurse comes back in the lineup, and Todd McClellan, said, hey, the only thing they really discussed with Darnell Nurse is understanding the rules as far as the instigator and the aggressor. But there was no conversations about, you know, them wanting him to suddenly tone it down. And that's a good thing, because I think the last thing you want to do is take out one of the key ingredients that's led to Nurse success. And that's having a bit of unpredictability and playing with a nasty streak.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, maybe they said to him, you almost cost us a bunch of money, because, I mean, there could have been fines and stuff thrown at the coach. But I think, it would have been very interesting to be a fly on the wall in that meeting, because I hear what you're saying. I mean, the message is understand the rules, understand the situation, and maybe, you know, I think they would probably say, we love the fact that you're willing to stick up for a teammate. And I don't think you ever want to discourage that. But at the same time, you know, you need to be able to trust players in situations and maybe pull guys back a little bit from crossing the line. So, yeah, like I said, man, I don't blame the league for doing what they did, because of the way that whole thing looked. I don't blame Darnell, really, for doing what he did, even though he stepped over the line a little bit. I think Todd handled it well. Like, look, it's a tough game, and tough stuff happens in this tough game sometimes. The league did what they had to do. Darnell did what he had to do. Todd's done what he's had to do. And this isn't the last time this is going to happen. So I really don't see a huge error in any area, outside of Darnell maybe stepping over the line a little bit.
Well, Chiarelli, fly safe. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, pal.
Ryan Rashog from TSN, just about to leave Florida after busy, hard days of suntanning and talking to the various general managers and governors in the National Hockey League. We are live at On the Rocks, Jasper Ave and 118th Street. Stop in. Free wings until 6 o'clock. Also, get into the draw. We're going to give away some tickets for tonight's game and much more on the Jason Gregor Show presented by Mr. Loop.